Right. Hello
Hello.
And welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining in. We're excited to be with you. And I'm so excited for you to get to know all of Team Origin, or the bulk of Team Origin, the core. All right. So we have one team member who is making her way. We're having a bit of a Mercury retrograde moment over here. I don't know if you all are also having Mercury retrograde mornings or afternoons or evenings where you are, but we're excited to be here with you. So we have a couple of questions that were asked ahead of time. So we're going to start with those. And then there's lots of time for live questions. So just know I think the best way to do it is going to be to have people raise their hands virtually and then verbally say their question. But if you don't want to talk or are driving or whatever, you can always write it in the chat. So great. Anyone want to share while we're waiting for our final team member? Anybody want to share a regenerative business related win or celebration or digestion? Here she is. We'll just take one. Anyone? You can share in the chat or you can raise your virtual hand and share it with your voice.
I can
Coco
share.
Did first. Sorry.
Okay.
Then we'll go. Yes. Coco, go for it.
Yes. The funny thing is I went into the Origin Facebook group and I found that an assistant, like a person who is like the running operations for businesses that I was talking with at the beginning of the year, but I had thought like I have no time for her. She was actually an Origin member and I contacted her and now I hired her and she's so relaxing for me. Like yesterday, because I'm writing this book, so I thought like I have no time to hire more people, but this was exactly the right move. And she's an Origin member since whatever, 2 years or something. And she knows you also personally. And I really love it. She's so, just relaxes me. And today I checked her human design and it's perfect for our team. Our team who's very, she's stable. Yes. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Empress is doing business together. Is there anything better than that? Is it Maya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Amazing. Amazing. She's a gem. I mean, all empresses are, obviously, but I do happen to know Maya because we used to live in the same town. All right. Amazing. Thank you, Coco. Okay. So welcome officially to Behind the Scenes with Team Origin. This gathering was inspired by a session we did just like this for our Origin Mastermind members. And I was blown away by how useful it was for them. And so we are doing it again for you. So we're going to go ahead and start with Nick's question. So Nick asked, I'm just going to read the whole thing. I love Kate's honesty about feeling connectedness to the regenerative business idea, different than anything she had done before, and putting it out in the world as this amazing offering with a trust that there would be an audience ready to receive it. I suspect that there was a general sense of the pulse of the community and what they were wanting and needing. Can you speak to the idea of market analysis? Like, so finding out what folks need and then giving it to them. And then the second part of the question is, also with such a large community, Kate's passion for the content and the brilliance of Team Origin, I can see how this endeavor would get legs and find traction. I am wondering for those of us with maverick ideas, an underdeveloped platform and pivoting from the mainstream, if Kate has any recommendations to attract the attention of a whole new audience. So I'm going to answer the two and then, but I would love Team Origin to weigh in as well with any additional thoughts. So, the first question around market analysis, we do a dance of self-generated ideas that we're just like, we really want to do this, and then asking our folks what they need. And we have a consistent cadence where we survey our Origin members who are really like our core folks, 2 times a year. So we do a end of the year in December or early January, and we do a mid-year in June. And we have repeat tasks for those that happen in our teamwork software, our project management software. So it just like that happens. And then we gather their feedback. And that inspires content ideas, that inspires pivots within the membership, that inspires ways for us to relate to them in a new way. It's one of them. That inspires a lot of things. And then some of our stuff is just like, either I have an idea or somebody else has an idea and we're just like, we want to do it. And we trust in the sort of collective, you know, human mycelial network that if we're super jazzed about something, so will our audience be. Like that amount of enthusiasm is, to me, it's always a sign that either it's going to sell well or we're going to learn an important lesson, and either one is very valuable. But Team Origin, especially Takesha, do you have any additional thoughts on kind of like market analysis since you run those surveys within the Origin membership?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the crux of it, right? And then to see trends. So I think one of the benefits to having been on the back end for so many years now is just kind of seeing like the ebbs and flows, and then to also get a feel for how our avatar evolves so that we can offer things as they're growing. So, you know, for example, in the very beginning, Kate's audience essentially inside of Origin were moms for the most part. And then we were seeing how like, oh, these challenges that people are having, it's not just unique to mothers. And there were so many people saying, well, do I have to be a mom? Do I have to be a mom? Do I have to be a mom? And that not only, I think, informed our messaging within the membership, but also Kate's book when, you changed the, did some edits to the book and all those things so that more people felt included. And I think if there's just so much to be said, there's so much value if you consider yourself as a consumer, because we're all consumers, and what appeals to you and how you evolve, and just like lending that same muscle to your own business and your own audience, is, I think, is very important.
Amazing. Amazing. And then we do also like, because Deb runs the Origin company social media. And by the way, I realized I just totally forgot to have everyone introduce themselves. So we're going to do that in a minute. Because Deb runs the Origin company social media and I run the Kate Northup social media, we're in constant conversation with our community. So we don't have to do like specific market analysis moments. It's like this beautiful ecosystem feedback loop at all times. Though we are working on the Origin app, and for that, we are going to do like a specific survey group of like 5 to 10 people. So we will pull out, and sometimes we'll do that where we'll like have deeper conversations. For example, when we were changing gears with the Origin marketing from marketing to moms to marketing to a wider audience, I did 12 calls with ideal customers to really dive into their desires and needs. And we have a template for doing that in Origin under how to identify your ideal customer avatar, that lesson. So you can just use the script and ask the questions that, I mean, obviously you can ask your own questions, but you can feel free to ask the questions that I ask. And that is really helpful because even though like I frequently know what we're going to offer, the way we talk about it can shift quite a bit. So our positioning can shift and our messaging can shift a lot more based on interaction, because we very frequently don't know how to articulate the needs of our customers better than they do. And they can just say it. And then they say it in this way that's like, oh, that's so much better than what I was going to say. And then it makes copywriting so much easier because you can use voice of customer. And then you literally just put the things they say in your emails and social media and sales page. And they basically write the copy for you. So there's that too. Anyone else from Team Origin want to say something on the market research before we dive into the second half of the question? Yeah, Deb, I thought so. I thought perhaps.
First of all, speaking of market research, just so you know, you'll all be receiving a survey and we'll be welcoming all of your feedback for this experience We want to hear it all because this was our first time offering this, and we've all just changed so much from the first moment that Kate brought it up to where we are today. The one thing I wanted to say about the way we market or come up with ideas, and of course, I'm going to stick with the regenerative business metaphor, is like when you're walking through a garden center and maybe to the left you have perennials and to the right you have annuals. And I want to invest. I want things to like come back every year. And so maybe I'll be buying perennials of things that like I want them to come back. But then sometimes annuals are just what I need to like spark like little color in my garden or to bring butterflies this season, right? So I think when you're thinking about what you're going to offer, don't be too attached to how long you have to offer it. So I think like it could be something that's seasonal versus something that is here for a longer time, right? Those are the foundational pieces that we offer. You know, Kate's book is going to be around for a long time. She invested a lot of energy. She's worked with people to make sure this is right. We're selling it. We're still selling it. We're making sure it's available to those that want to buy it. And then there might be something that comes and goes. And I think listening to how the audience, how our dream client wants to receive it, and asking those questions during surveys helps us to evaluate if it's season, it's going to be offered this season, or if it's going to be offered longer term. And so just listen to yourself when you're listening to others' feedback. How does it feel in your body? How does your team feel when you read the feedback? Because you get to decide. And we are not the same people. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 6 of us, right? 4, 5. Yeah, 6 of us here. The 6 of us are not the same people we were 1 year ago when we started working together for Team Origin. And so like just acknowledging the growth that we've had personally and professionally as a company helps us serve all of you so much like more beautifully. So listen to yourself and how it feels when you're listening to the feedback.
I love that perennials, annuals analogy. That was really good. And I also want to say, sometimes people give you feedback that you don't incorporate. Doesn't mean it was bad in feedback. But sometimes it'll spark something else. So even if you're not going to like go down and be like, okay, we're going to implement all the things. Sometimes it's like, ooh, they want this. I don't want to give them that. But it did inspire this other idea for something else. And then the second question about how to market when your audience is just growing. I want to say I'll start and then we can open it up to the other folks, which is basically like we ended up with 47 or 48 people in regenerative business, something like that. So that's not that many. I mean, it is and it isn't. It's like, I don't know, compared to what, but like 48 humans. You can know 48 humans. And like we all social scientists say that we all actually know 2,000 people. So when I started, I got my training in the network marketing industry. So my background is like, who do you know? The people you know. I mean, I sold vitamins for like a decade. And so I was 18 years old when I started that business. I had no clout. I had barely an education. I did not have any of those things, but I built a 6-figure business because of relationality, relationships. And so really, and now we do the same thing, just like slightly more at scale online, but it is literally the exact same thing, which is caring about other humans, listening for what they need. And there's something I forgot to say during the cross-pollination call. Maybe I didn't say this. I don't know, but I'll just say it again. It is so key to be focused on being interested instead of being interesting when it comes to building relationships. I think, did we talk about that during that call? Yeah. Okay, good. Because when you're like out and about in your community and you're going to networking events or you're going to yoga classes or you're going to conferences or you're whatever, it is so much easier to build relationships when you're focused on being interested. And then folks will be drawn to you. So those individual invitations can be really powerful. And I know people who have like no social media, no email list, and have way bigger businesses than we do. So I would say like, it's really about your deep connection with your offering and your idea, and thinking like one, the power of one, one person at a time, one relationship, one invitation. And if you're just getting started with something new, you might think about how you can offer it one-on-one or in a small group program that's like by invitation, as opposed to a larger thing. Like regenerative business could have totally been a small group coaching program or a workshop that I taught live once a week for 8 weeks, or, you know, whatever. Like there's a lot of different ways to do it, but you can have just as much revenue coming in from like a small town business that's local as, or more. So I would say like the power of one and the power of real life relationships, texting people, calling people, running into people at the grocery store. So often I see people waiting until they get some kind of like vague, they're like waiting to start because they're like, my platform's not big enough. And I'm like, you know, 2000 people, like they're not all going to follow you on Instagram. And even if they do, such a small percentage is even going to see your stuff. So just like, do it now. Who do you know now? And referrals, and the more specific you are with your offering, the more, or it's not even, I hesitate to say this, but like either the more specific you are with your offering or the more connected you are to your offering or both, it really is magnetic with those real life, like the people you actually know for real. Not that they all have to be your customers. And I'm not suggesting that like you think about everybody you know as a potential customer, but it's like that idea of how can it spread from that initial core. And Timurjan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, like growing when the platform is in development. Yeah, Takesha.
Yeah, so earlier on in my career, I worked with small businesses locally. Like, so that was my job. Like I started out in marketing, and those people were like regular people like us, you know, starting businesses. And I think like basically to what Kate had said, like, don't be afraid to be like the hometown hero. Don't be afraid to build your business in person and then tell people that you've got like an online thing. And don't forget about like those old school tactics, like write your local paper, a press release, tell them that you're doing stuff, like get in your town's Facebook groups. Like people, you know, with my business, like people reach out to me that I never even heard of. And they're like, oh, well, you came highly recommended. Where? In like the local Facebook group, right? So don't be afraid to like know people, like what Kate had said, like meet people in the grocery store, talk to, like be a human, right? Like just be okay building relationships, because sometimes we have a hard time being visible locally because it's like, oh, if I fail and then the mom at preschool sees me and she's gonna be like, oh, look at her. But, you know, like, don't let that deter you, because I think sometimes it's easy for us to hide online and have this whole nother persona on the internet. And then people in your town don't even know who you are, and they should. Like, and that's very much a direct sales thing too. Like everyone should know what you're doing. And if they don't know, tell them, and they probably know someone who would be perfect for your business.
Love that. Any other thoughts on that, Team Origin?
I think like just adding to what both Kate and Takesha said is like, you have something to share. I mean, I could go on about this forever, but I'll just say like, you have something that someone needs. So you can just be a guide. And when you're a guide, you help people do something that makes them better or improves their life. And it's about planting that one seed for that one pot. I'll just keep sticking with the plants today, but it's about the one seed, right? The one seed that you love, that you water, that you give light to. And if you don't worry about the entire yard or field and you just focus on that one little hole that you dug, you know, things are a lot less overwhelming, and you'll be surprised at what comes from the fruit of that labor. It takes energy, but it's also love. Mm-hmm. So
I love that. I love that so much. Linda, yes. Oh, good. Takesha, you caught that. And I love that. Dalia, I love the seed keeper analogy. Know this. If you are lit up by an idea for an offering, it is because there's someone who needs it. Like, I believe that God wouldn't have planted that idea in you unless somebody needed it. So we don't have to be in any kind of feeling of like, is this the right idea? Am I doing this right? Should I tweak? Does somebody else have a better way to do it? It's like, no, if it's in you, it's for the world, for sure. We don't know why. It's not like for sure going to be a six-figure launch. We've done, oh my God, the number of things that I have tried to sell that like didn't work. You just have no idea, all the ridiculousness. So it's not about it like, and what did it work even mean, right? We know already the idea of compost. We know that like there's just a certain, anybody who's a gardener knows that like it takes a minute to figure out like 1 year, you know, like 1 year you might get started and then you learn like, oops, okay, the timing of this, I didn't plant those things the right way. They do, okay, but next year, the cucumbers are so much better because you figured out all those things. So it's all progress. It's all progress. It all counts. Okay. Let's go around and have everyone introduce themselves. I know we're doing this like sideways. So Takesha, can you say like how long you've worked with the company and what your role is?
Yes. And then we'll go. So it'll be 4 years in September that I've been with Team Origin. And I currently am head empress inside of the Origin membership, which is basically like the space holder. You'll see me in just about all the calls. I'm engaging with you in the community, all of that. And then I also, because I'm a copywriter. Well, by trade, I'm a lot of things, but one of my trades is a copywriter. So sometimes I write content in the back end to support Kate and sales copy and whatever other copy, and then also overseeing the blog.
Amazing. Thank you. Amanda?
Yeah, so I've been with the company a year, just over a year, and I run customer care and operations. So I'm the one that's replying to all your emails and also just thinking through systems in the company, the project management software, making sure that like everything's tasked out for every single project. A little bit of SEO here and there, and that's about it.
Amazing. Thank you. Hillary?
I'm Hillary. I have been with the company for almost a year and a half, and I am Kate's executive assistant. So I run all of her scheduling, PR requests, a little bit of social interaction here and there, pretty much whatever is necessary, wherever the gap needs to be filled and wherever I can support Kate. And then I run logistics and planning for our mastermind retreats that Kate leads 3 times a year. And I do our warehouse management and fulfillment.
So many things. Thank you, Hillary. All right, Alejandra.
Hello, I'm Alejandra, and I'll be with the Origin Company 3 years in August of this year. And I am behind the scenes, therefore probably meeting all of you for the first time. I am an Entreport and Access Ally specialist. Those are the softwares that we use to run a lot of our automation. Entreport does a lot of our email marketing and automation stuff, and Access Ally runs our membership area where you access all of your Origin stuff and any other of the courses or experiences that you purchase from us. And I do a lot of the setup for those things. I help schedule emails and load content and things like that. And I also do any troubleshooting whenever somebody has issues with any of that.
Amazing. Thank you. And Deb.
Hey, everybody. I'm Deb, and I have been a part of Team Origin since March of 2021, but started my journey with Kate in 2019 as a member of her incubator. So in 2020, I spent a lot of time with Takesha and Kate. Just really understanding cyclical living and understanding why I felt the way I felt and how I wanted it to feel in my life, in my business. I attribute my work with the Origin Company as like a megaphone. So imagine like you've got a megaphone, right? And I've got Kate over here telling me what she wants to offer. And I have to filter it through the little metal pieces and get it to the team so that we get it out to all of you. So I'm like this big funnel filter full of joy and excitement because most of what I do comes with a shout or a smile or a cheer. And I'm the one who helps to support you in the Do Less group, the free community, if you're in there, managing the social media for the Origin Company, making sure that you guys know what's coming and our amazing blogs that Takesha and Kate write. And I honestly couldn't do the work that I do here without Amanda and Takesha and Hillary and Alejandra. So we are very much a cohesive, you know, the rings that you see on all of our logos, this ring, this is literally us. It wouldn't work if it was just one. It's all of us together. So I just wanted to say that's important.
That is so beautiful. And Deb also gives me a little pep talk, come to Jesus every now and again, which is very
well, helpful. Let's be honest. It's tough love. I'm the executioner, but we don't use that publicly, but we'll share it with you. Like, I'm like, nope, this is what we're going to do today. I don't hold back. So,
all right. So that's the team. I love you all. So grateful for this. And, Natalie was just asking, do we use the same questions every time? We do pretty much use the same questions every time for our surveys, but we have like a basic format, but based on the season or based on what we're needing to know, sometimes we add or subtract or tweak. But we have like a template so that here, you know, this is like Amanda's department, but if you are surveying your community and you are starting with the blank survey every time, you are definitely wasting a lot of time and energy. So you want to have like a SOP that's the standard questions that you ask in a survey. And then you can of course tweak each time. All right. Bunny is asking, I'm curious about the cadence of sharing offers with your community, whether they're your offers or cross-pollination affiliate shares, so that the land doesn't become oversaturated. Okay, so this is great. I love this question. Here's the thing. There's literally no right way to do this. There's just what feels good to you. So, you know how we talked about in the regenerative sales cycles conversation about how you like to buy? If you're the kind of person who likes to get, like, there are some people who just are on all the email lists of like J. Crew and, you know, The Real Real and like whoever you show up with, like, and they love that and they love getting those offers. Zara, right? Whatever. Like, I have friends who are just like, up in there and they love it. And so, and I also have friends in this industry who swear by sending one email a day, an email every day to your community with an offer. And I have friends who are like, oh my gosh, I do one launch a year. I literally only sell things one time a year. So I would say to the answer to this question is it's less based, there's no standard. There's no like external standard because I know people who make seven figures, multiple seven figures, eight figures, who are completely on the opposite ends of the spectrum. An email every day with a sale and one time a year for 4 weeks that they sell and that's it. So that, or really it's 9 days that their card is open. So that's the non-answer, except it's to say like, what feels good to you. For us, it feels like really tiring if we're offering too many things in a row. However, that being said, like there are A level offers, B level, C and D. So an A level, and is there a lesson on this in Origin? No, but you know where there is? We are planning a plan the rest of 2022 with the origin company, and this will be something that will be covered in there. So there's A-level promotions, which are like all the bells and whistles, you know, emails, social, webinars, challenges, Facebook ads. Then there's like B level where it's like maybe just social and email. Then there's C level where maybe it's a PS on the blog and like an Instagram story. And then maybe there's C level where it's like, we literally mention it once in a PS. So it's you, if you don't want to do like an, we don't want to do an A level promotion every week, but we could totally do an A level promotion and the next week do a D level and like pepper them in. Okay. Yes, it is probably somewhere else that, because that's kind of how we roll. Now, I will just say that's more of a concept. Every time we roll out a promotion, we're not actually labeling it in the company an A level, a B level, a C level, a D level. So we don't talk like that, but we could, but we all kind of know if, you know, so yeah, I don't know if that helps, but Team Origin, if you want to say anything else on that, I would be open.
I'll say something on it. Yeah. I think it's not just about your audience getting oversaturated, but also your team, like just in terms of whether they're going to burn out, whether it feels doable. And that's something that we've really worked on in 2022 of like, when are we doing what and when do we need breaks? And so I think it's just really important to think about that capacity of your team. And that also really helps if you have project management software, you can see all your projects in one go. So you can see if like there's just too much like going on, and really help to kind of think, okay, maybe we need to shift this around. Because for example, if we have like a launch going on, but we've still got the Origin membership every month, then there could be too much content for one person to create, and just kind of splitting that up a bit can be really helpful. So.
So good. So good. Okay. Next question is from Arielle. Hi, Arielle. So good to have you here. I'd love to know how you structure team bonuses. Oh, and then Coco, you actually pre-submitted a question, so I'm coming back to that. You spoke team bonuses. I know from an accounting perspective, you mentioned using profit first as a company. Is there a specific percentage you set aside for team bonuses from revenue or launches? Okay, so I'll answer that one first. So in the past, historically, through 2021, our bonus structure was a bit random and intuitive. That was not optimal. So it worked. Like we were sharing our, you know, our profits with the team, but it was more like we would get to the end of a launch and just sort of give bonuses, or we would get to the end of the year and just give bonuses, which, and you know, it's kind of fun. It's like surprising for the team, but as we have, I mean, ladies, you're welcome to share on your thoughts on this too. As team members, like how that feels. But this year we rolled out a performance-based bonus plan where it has specific goals set up, minimum, target, stretch, and maximum. So for the company's revenue for the year, if we hit the minimum goal each quarter, our core team members know the bonus that they'll receive at the end of that quarter. So it's been pre-set. And then if we hit our target goal or our stretch goal or our max goal, max meaning the max bonus payout, not max meaning we can't make any more revenue than this, then we'll true it up at the end of the year. So the bonus is paid quarterly as long as we hit the minimum goal. And then at the end of the year, if a different goal was ended up being hit, that'll be get paid out in January, like the difference. And so from an accounting perspective, we track our revenue monthly. We use a company called Evolved Finance, which I freaking love them. And they get us our numbers within 7 days or 15 days at the max when the month closes. And they've just cleaned everything up and made it so good. So it's like very obvious where we're at each month. So Mike, who's in charge of our finances, knows to just put aside. So we use YNAB, youneedabudget.com. So we end with the profit first system. So every week on a Friday morning, Mike and I meet and we take the revenue that came into the company, and we separate it percentage wise for profit, taxes, owner's pay, and business expenses. And then the money that comes into business expenses gets separated into all the line items for the business. So we'll put it in the line items for each of the team members. We'll put it in. So we sort of, all the money gets a job. It's kind of like an online envelope system. And then we know that there's a line item for the bonuses. So that just gets set aside as the money comes in. So we're never in a position of like, oh my gosh, these bonuses are due, but we spent the money. That's not happening. So that works really well for us. We do the same thing with the mastermind retreats. Like we know what the budget is for the mastermind retreats. So every payment that comes in from a mastermind member, a percentage of it goes into the line item for the mastermind retreat so that when the mastermind retreat bill comes, the money's already been pre-allocated and we can just put it right in there. No surprises. I ran the business for so many years with so many surprises. And if you're doing it that way, you're doing great. it's fine. And it's like more levels of professionalism and more levels of sophistication are always available. But like, this is not about guilt or shame or like feeling like you're a bad person. I mean, some years I couldn't pay my taxes. Like I had to, credit card debt, like you can read about all that in Money Love Story. But the great news is we get better over time. So Ariel, hopefully that helps answer the bonus question. And then the second question, you've spoken about how your live launch experiences as a team. How have evergreen courses or membership funnels worked for you as a team? Do you use them? Have they performed strong enough where your live launches are done just because you love it? Would love some reflection on how evergreen has worked and felt for you as a team. I love this question, Ariel. So evergreen is a growth edge for us. And it is something I am like very excited to expand into. Back in 2012, 2013, 2014, we used to make like 50 grand a month from the Money Love course Evergreen. But that was back in the day when running Facebook ads was like dipping your hand into a stream and coming out with fistfuls of fish. And I know, Ariel, you remember those days. So, or maybe you don't, I don't know. But anyway, those were the days. Like back in the day, it was just very different. And our evergreen was everything and we basically never launched. So that was awesome, especially in those early years of like taking our honeymoon. We took a month long honeymoon. We planned this like really epic wedding that I got super into as kind of like a creativity project. I got pregnant and basically like couldn't work for, a long time. And then the first years of parenthood. So that was so beautiful. I'm so grateful. Things then shifted in the online ads world. Our messaging shifted. The messaging that worked really well for us was debt messaging. So we had this webinar about getting out of debt and that thing like pumped out. It was amazing. However, I had this realization one day, and this is regenerative business, right? I had this realization one day, I'll never forget, sitting down in the chair in my bedroom at the time being like, oh my God. We are filling our list with people in debt. Shit. Like, I was like, that's not a good long-term plan for our business because we only had this one offer and this one offer like did gangbusters. But I was like, but then what? And the Money Love course does help people get out of debt. So in theory, like it would advance people through, but from a point of attraction perspective, I was just like, I don't like that all our ads talk about being in debt. So we switched them to abundance language. And we could never recreate the results. So that's like the history there. Then we worked on an evergreen funnel last year. Mike was so sick and I had no bandwidth. So it didn't work, but it's not because evergreen funnels don't work. It's because things were like a real mess behind the scenes. And now we are so excited that we have an evergreen funnel that has now been created and ready to tweak and run traffic through. So we're going to start running traffic through it this week for our program, Heal the Way You Work. And I'm excited about that. And the Origin membership might be offered on the back end of that as an upsell or cross-sell. We're not sure. So anyway, Ariel, we can kind of like keep in touch about that, but that's certainly not the Origin company's area of genius yet, but we're working on it. And I'm so excited. Now, meanwhile, like my friend Susie Moore only does evergreen. Her entire multi-million dollar business, all evergreen. She never does live launches really. Every now and again, she mentions something in her Instagram stories. So again, there's proof of everything working. There's never like a right way. All right. So if you have any follow-up questions on that, Ariel, happy to answer them. Great. Anything else that you folks on Team Origin want to say about evergreen versus live launches from like what you know from working with other clients or inside the company or anything like that?
I think it's just a different time. I'm like what Kate was saying, like things were different before. There were less people marketing online. Now people are getting savvier. There are tools that help make it easier for business owners. And like, that's a good thing, but then there's more of us. And so I think going back to what we were talking about of like how it feels, if you have an offer, you know, in your heart, how it feels like if we can get away from trying to make, you know, 100,000 people join our list and just focus on the 1, 2, 3 that really need it, those people will help you attract even more. Because is there really anything better than serving your soulmate client, your dream client? And when you do, you rise up, they rise up, and that energy just keeps coming. It's like it's the waves, it's the ripples, it's all of the things that like you hope for. So try to stay in that space of I'm here to offer something, rather than I need to sell this or I need to make money, you know? And I mean, we could say this 1,000 times a day, we're all going to fall into the trap again. But if you have to put a sticky note on your monitor that just says like, someone needs what I have. And
I love that.
It's just a different time. So.
And I will say like one thing that I'm really thinking about right now, and this is a conversation we're having within the company right now. It's like, is what and how could we offer something? What and how could we offer that is something people could join at any time that really is something that people would jump into just anytime because there's such a gravitational pull to it. And I have a feeling it's something with the Origin membership, but we're still like in exploration of that. So more to come. I don't know, but I'm excited about the possibility. Okay. Jen is asking, if you were a one person team back at the beginning, what roles would you hire as a necessity and in what order? So I love this. Back in the day when I was a one person team, the first person I ever hired was somebody to do, to like set up my blog for me and connect it to AWeber, because me learning the back end of tech systems is never a good idea. So for me, that kind of thing was just like never a good use of my time. So that's because of my own zone of genius. I am a big picture person. I am not detail oriented. I make mistakes with details all the time. If I were in charge of that stuff, all the emails would go out wrong all the time. Broken links, wrong time zones. And when I was the checker, that's what happened. It was a shit show. And I've known I'm like this for like 20 years and it doesn't seem to be getting better and I'm okay with that. So you need to hire the thing that you're the worst at first. And then I would also hire the thing that drives you the most crazy, right? So those two things for me are the same. Like, if you told me to set up an Entreport campaign, I would be like, I quit. I'm a barista now. This is my job now because this is not what I'm, no. Or if you told me to manage teamwork, every now and again, when I'm super luteal, I can put tasks in teamwork, but that's it. So the thing that you are the worst at and that you hate the most, and then also, for me, that's always been tech stuff or admin stuff. Like doing detail things for me is that. So I can't answer the question like so specifically, Jen, other than it depends on the person. Listen, I see people put out there all the time, here's exactly who you need to hire when and whatever. I mean, it's nice to have a PDF that says that, but it's not true. Like I read those things and I'm like, yeah, okay. That's like one way it worked. And you're one of 8 billion people. Thank you for sharing. It's nice to know the behind the scenes from another person's business, but I wish it were more set up of like, here's who I hired in this order. Feel free to model that in your own business as opposed to like, this is what works. So I hired first tech help, not on an ongoing basis. I paid like $100 for someone to set up my blog and connect it to AWeber. And then after that, I hired an executive, or not an executive assistant, but like an admin VA. And she helped me with like all sorts of miscellaneous things. And then after that, I hired a personal assistant who helped me with a lot of miscellaneous things in New York City. So Deb, do you wanna speak up about what you're talking about?
So as part of this bonus, you all got the team archetypes.
Yeah.
So if you haven't yet looked at that, that is the most, probably one of the more fun things this team has been able to give you. And I have to say, Takesha killed it when she was coming up with our names and everything. It's really fun. So like if we were a card deck, if we were an Oracle card deck, the Origin Company, these were our beings. And so what I love the most is that it's not something that you will find anywhere else. The roles and responsibilities of our team are truly because of our genius zones, which I know you guys have been talking about, which Kate's been talking about, which you're probably reading about. We talked about this on Amanda's call when she was talking about operations and who's responsible for what. And that's why I think Kate not telling you who to hire next is so important. Like, we're not here to tell you that you should do it our way, or Kate's way, or, you know, Forbes or Harvard Business Review way. Really look at if you were to duplicate yourself, right? Because, you know, we all want to like, oh, I need three of me. Well, do you really need three of you? Or is there something that's missing within you that someone has that could support you? So it's kind of inner work, not kind of, it's inner work to, for me, I'll tell you, one of the first people I hired was a copywriter, which people are like, what? How could that be? It's because when you ask me to sit down and write, I completely get crippled. You want me to go on video? I'll do it. You want me to stand on a stage speaking to 10,000 people? I'll do it. Want me to write a blog? I can't even like talk about how it makes me feel because I overthink like the grammar and the language. I write how I speak, which isn't always how people want me to deliver a piece of content. You know, many people have told me I should write a book. I can't even imagine what that would do to my being. It's probably something I'm going to have to do to go through it, just to go through the process and like achieve that. But I knew in my bones that bringing on someone to help me create my nurture sequence was so important. So it's my nurture sequence that someone else brought to life. So what is it that you feel you can't bring to life and you need some support to do that? This doesn't, when you bring on team members or assistants or someone for a couple of hours a week, you are supporting them to support you. So it's not like you bring them in and you're not a part of it. You bring them in so that they can find the things within you that maybe it's their gift. And to remember that when you bring someone in to help you, you're helping them with their genius zone. They get to do what maybe takes you 10 times longer. And someone actually wrote on the Origin Company post on Instagram that when they do work in their genius zone, they feel like they're cheating. And I was like, I love that feeling. Like it's good and bad, right? You're like, oh, I feel like I'm cheating. Like you should be in trouble for this. And it's like, no, we get to do it and it feels easy. So think of yourself bringing someone in and allow them to feel that bubbly joy of doing their genius zone when they help you.
I love that. That's so good. Any other responses on that before I get to Coco's question?
I was just going to say too, I know in one of the lessons you had talked about, Kate, that Rachel Rogers said one of the first people she hired was someone to do her laundry. And I think, yeah. And I think that speaks to like understanding what is your obstacle, even if it's not the tech side, like maybe you don't have a partner that's supportive, or maybe you're a single mom or something that can like make the energetic part of you being able to show up possible. Because I think like one of the first people that I hired was someone to like clean our house, because my partner has no idea what I do and it doesn't make any sense to him at all. But if I can afford for someone to come in here and clean the house and it's like one less thing for him to like fuss about, it's like, oh, well, this must be working because the house is clean. So it's like, you know, whatever will support you And it doesn't have to look like a typical thing. And of course, like the very, very first person I hired, like Kate, was someone to do backend web stuff because it made my brain hurt. So I think it's just, you know, again, reiterating, like whatever makes sense for who you are in this season is what works.
Thank you for bringing up about the laundry. That actually was the first thing. I would send my laundry out in New York, even though I was still in debt. I was like, I can send my laundry out. It was like $30 a week. And that was a huge, huge saver of time. Okay, love it. That was such a good question. Coco asks, money transparency. Which team member should know which monetary metrics of the company? Okay, this is a great question. Do you know how much each one earns? I want to be transparent as possible, but I'm not sure if it's a good idea if they compare each other's worth. So far, I've kept it secret. I usually pay what they ask for, and nobody ever asks what someone else earns. Let me just go over. Wait, hold on. I need to do a wrap of this because it is going over here. Only our accountant knows everything. Thank you so much. Yes, same. So only our accountant knows everything. Everybody knows the revenue. At this point, everybody doesn't know the expenses every month, but I would be fine if they did. I just haven't said it. Ladies, if you want to know our bottom line expenses, like you're welcome to that information. But like the individual delineated, like I do more of a percentage. So it's like, okay, this percentage goes towards taxes. This percentage goes towards software. This percentage goes towards team. This percentage goes towards whatever. That works really well for our company. I know people who, like, everybody on the team gets a copy of the P&L, and I know people who don't even want their company, their team members to know how much revenue the company makes. So again, there's no right answer. There's what feels good to you. I really love everyone knowing the revenue every month because we are rowing a boat together. And for years, folks didn't know that until the end of the year. And it was just like hard to enroll folks in goals if they had no idea where we were. So we're just getting much more refined here in terms of like every single month, everyone knows where we're at, and every quarter, everyone knows where we're at. That wouldn't work in all businesses, right? Like if you run a restaurant, not probably relevant or helpful. Maybe, I don't know. But for our team, like we're just like in here together. So it really, it makes sense. But I would love to know, folks, how's that working for you? You know, if anything to add, yeah, Amanda.
Yeah, I just want to speak to the question of, does everyone know what each person earns? And I would say that that's down to each team member to answer that question. Like it's not really the... It's not for the business owner to let everyone know what everyone earns. And so if somebody chooses to share that with a team member, that's up to them. But I think that's a really good way of just, you know, respecting people's privacy and confidentiality. From my side, I love the fact that we know what our revenue goals are and what our revenue is, because it helps me to see how what I'm doing personally is helping impact the work. So for me, it's really inspiring. And I love that transparency. So that's my take on it.
Yeah, I'm so we're all contractors, right? So I think for us, like this is probably one of the few companies that I've supported that has shared revenue with me. And I too agree that I love seeing what we bring in because of the work we're doing together. We also, I feel the difference when we're rowing the boat together versus when we're not, and the revenue that it definitely impacts that. I think just to answer Kate's questions, like I don't really need to know your expenses because I'm here for the same purpose as the team, and that's to change the way people heal their relationship with time. And I think we're doing that. I know we're doing that. And every time someone joins us, whether it's on our email list or on one of our social accounts, or they invest in regenerative business, or they say hell yes to your mastermind, or even buy a book or a planner, I know it's because of something we said or did. Because we can't make people make purchases. We're not standing with them with their hand over their mouse or their keyboard. They're doing it because of something we said or did, and that's the collective. And so you know, I'm grateful that you share that information with us. I don't personally need any more information than you're giving us. So I think it works fairly well for me.
Awesome. Anyone else?
I think if you're not interested in sharing your revenue with your team, I think it's more useful to ask yourself why you don't want them to know. Like, are you ashamed? Are you not at the marks that you want to reach? Are you trying to give off a persona? Because if you're not open to sharing with them, you're most likely not going to share with, you know, anyone else. And maybe you're not being honest with yourself about where you really are and where you were hoping you were going to be. I'll say one of the things that I appreciated about in my corporate experience for some of the larger companies that I worked for, they would, you know, produce like, these are our numbers. And you know, specifically on the teams that I was a part of with like sales and marketing, like, this is our goal. This is what you are personally responsible for. And did you meet your mark or did you not? And because of my personality, I'm not super competitive, but it made me feel like, oh, like what Amanda said, like, what am I a part of? Like, am I helping to elevate whatever, you know, they say their mission statement is? Like, am I a part of something? Because most people aren't just motivated by money or a bonus check even. Some people really want to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And so, you know, money just happens to be the energetic, you know, equivalent of, you know, you reaching your goal or your purpose or your mission. Bless you, Dalia. But also, I think it's really valuable to at least be transparent, because now, especially nowadays, people are very sensitive to transparency, and it really helps with, you know, people feeling loyal and protective of your brand, of your business, and they'll stand up for you and they'll go to bat for you, whether they still work for your team or not, because they believe you to be of integrity.
I love that so much. I think that's great. Okay, Coco, the archetypes.
Wait, Hillary.
Oh, I'm sorry, Hillary. Yes, I'm so sorry.
I was just gonna say one thing, which is one thing that I found really powerful and wonderful relating to everything was that at the end of the year in 2021, Kate shared the percentage of revenue that came from individual brackets, like what was the membership, the mastermind, the shop, affiliates, everything in totality. And I think that really helps the team recognize what revenue drivers are, although we all basically know what they are, but to attach percentages actually to them was really powerful. And then also to identify like our personal 80-20s in relationship to that, like how are we spending our time and allocating it appropriately to be driving the revenue in these subsets, in these subsections where we are able to. And I thought that that was a really interesting piece of information and really helped us all probably go into this next year, identifying our own personal zones of genius and reminding us where our energy is best spent to be driving revenue for the company.
That's great. So good. Okay. So I know we're at time. If folks need to hop off, I have a little extra time to stay and answer questions. So, you know, team, if you need to hop off, totally understand, and participants too. Okay. So Cynthia asks, what is the best way to start collaborating with other people? Just reaching out and starting conversations. So, Cynthia, do you mean like brand collaborations, like interviews or like promoting each other's stuff, things like that? Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to hold this question and answer it during the integration, since that's like not as much a team question. So we're going to hold on that one. Okay. Next. Alejandra was just saying, sometimes the help you need is seasonal. When I'm really busy with work, I have my groceries delivered. It isn't something that I feels needed or good all the time, but on some weeks it makes a huge difference. I love that, Alejandra, really thinking through like, what are going to be your busy seasons? Like during our launch times, I really make sure that somebody else is handling dinner, for example. But during non-launch times, like I actually don't mind winding down at the end of the day and making dinner. So that's an excellent, excellent point. Okay, great. Okay. Dalia, our percentages, it's a little tricky to say like the whole thing, but out of every dollar that comes into the company, 71% goes towards paying taxes and business expenses, but And that's before owner's pay. So we put 15% aside for taxes. I'm not saying we only pay 15% taxes on our earned income, but because of the way we take it off, like 15% off the top, and then we always have enough for taxes because the expenses get deducted later, right? We take 5% off the top for profit from our profit first. And there's like a specific thing you do with that in the profit first model. And the taxes and profit are included in that 71% that, and then owner's pay is something separate. Does that help? Okay, cool. All right. Natalie, I do seem to have missed your question. Yes. Would you like to say it out loud or retype it?
Hey, I can answer it. Just below.
Great.
It's right there, Kate. Amanda typed it.
Is everyone on your team an employee, or do you have a mix of employees and contractors? At this point, everyone is actually a contractor. We have had employees in the past also. Neither is good or bad. For this particular constellation, contractors has worked really well for us. It doesn't mean it'll be that forever. It's just a snapshot in time. So most of our team has additional clients, and the origin company is just one of their clients. I know other entrepreneurs who would hate that because they just are like, if somebody is going to work with me, I want their 100% devoted time and energy. I get that. So far it works. That's all I'll say. But again, that's just how we do it. I know, you know, Gabby Bernstein, for the vast majority of her business, had all contractors as well. Now, a contractor relationship, so I'm actually the team's client, which is very different than the relationship between an employer and an employee. So it's a dance. And we work with a woman named Gina Gomez, who's incredible, who helps us with contracts and helps if folks are having, you know, questions or issues or need support. Gina is sort of our, she's kind of like our satellite HR department. And she's a dream. So I don't know if that's, I think that's kind of what she is. So I do recommend having some support on that if that's possible for you. Okay. Healing Spaces Wellness says, I'd love to hear how you balance putting enough energy into your launches while still running ongoing programs like masterminds and memberships, how to balance allowing the automations of launches to do their thing, but also making space to actually do the things that require your input. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just going to read the question again. balance putting enough energy into your launches while still running ongoing programs like the mastermind and the membership. Okay. Amanda, do you want to take this question?
Yeah. I can. I think it's multiple things. Part of like balancing the energy is team in this situation. I think Kate will be the first to say that there's no way we could run launches, masterminds, memberships if it was just her. So for example, Takesha is the community manager, and she is there, you know, all the time supporting the membership. Of course, Kate is doing sessions, but Takesha's in the group day in and day out. So that's really supportive of that, and allow space for launches to run at the same time. So I think that's a really important piece. And then the other part of balancing energy is kind of going back to what we said earlier of like looking at what is happening ahead of time and thinking about, is this going to be too much, right, for the team, not just for customers, but for us personally. And looking at things like, you know, when I'm, for example, planning tasks, I'm looking at, is Kate at a mastermind retreat? Are people on vacation? Like, what else is going on? And so looking at it ahead of time, rather than waiting until you get to the point where you're like, oh shit, like too much is going on, right? That would be my advice to start with, is like plan it out as much as you can. And I know that Kate has said that we've had a different year where we haven't planned everything out ahead of time, but when we do have an idea, we reverse engineer it. So it's not like next week we're doing regenerative business. No, like you know, Kate and Deb met like weeks, maybe 3 months before we actually launched it. And I started a task list maybe 8 weeks before. And so everybody could go into teamwork and see when everything was like due. And then we could have a conversation about, is this doable? So those are my thoughts on it.
I love that. Yeah. And it's not to say like, we don't. Yeah. I love that you said we generally have a plan a quarter to 6 months in advance. So we're not doing things on the fly, super spontaneous, but this year, I just couldn't make an annual plan. And I trust that. I don't know what that's about, but it just, because, and quite frankly, the truth is like every time there was an annual plan, like we changed it anyway. So I was sort of like, what's the point? But we do know what's happening at the beginning of each quarter for sure. And that is really useful. And we always know like at least a month out in advance so that we're never like, oh, we're in the middle of a launch. Oh, and all the membership content is due at the same time. Oh, and also like you have to pre-write all this content for an affiliate launch. Like that doesn't happen because of Amanda, because of the our project management software, and because of our planning practices. I mean, we are a company who has a planner about cyclical energy and optimizing your energy flow. So I would say like we do a pretty good job with this, and we're always learning and we're always improving. Any other thoughts on that, Team Origin? Okay, it is really important to, if you are somebody who is running things solo or has a, or has just like some team members, I really would, because by this, like we've had team for, in some way, shape or form since 2010. So, there, what happens is, like, quite frankly, there are things that happen in the company that have been happening for years that I don't even know they happen, because one team member came in to do it, and then they onboarded the next team member, and they onboarded the next team member, and they. So at this point, and I would identify myself as a control freak, but that I love. Like, I don't want to know all the things at all, and some people really would, but either way, I would say like, if you're newer in the game or looking to hire a team, I would write out all the things that need to happen in your company, at least on a big level. Like, okay, so we have the Origin membership, and what needs to happen is like the daily posts in the group need to be pre-scheduled. The monthly content needs to be created that's pre-recorded. The Zoom calls have to be scheduled. There needs to be a calendar. There's a weekly mailer, like all the things that need to happen, so that you can actually see what is happening in your business, and you don't have this false idea that you should be able to do it all. Because that belief, like I should be able to do this by myself, or I'm somehow a more valuable entrepreneur or more valuable woman the more things I do alone, that we just have to like cancel all of that. There's no way I could do anything without these women and without Mike and without house support. Like there's just, you know, there's a lot of support. There's a lot that goes in. And as far as I'm concerned, if our company is good at making money, why should we not be then supporting other people with that? Like I loved bring it in and then spread it around. That to me, that's like a win for everybody. That's way better than being like, I'm going to make this money. And then as a point of pride and like some mishigas about privilege, I'm then thinking I shouldn't hire support. I'm going to like hold on to it and then prevent other people from having wonderful positions. So that's kind of a whole other thing. Okay. Takesha, there's a question for you from Bunny. What are some ways you recommend keeping memberships engaged? And then when thinking about a membership, do you think you need a larger audience? And can you speak about how the membership was born, grown and tended?
Yeah, so I can at least answer the first part. So as far as keeping members engaged, I think it really kind of, it evolves. So basically the foundational things of seeing people, hearing people, kind of connecting with people, building relationship. A lot of what helps to like maintain the community aspect of the membership is, you know, now we've got a lot of live components. So being able to communicate with people in person and then encouraging them to like, go back and share what you've done here to the Facebook community or wherever you have like your interactive portion of your community. Also, at least at this stage of my interaction within the community, because I've built relationships with so many people in the community, when I see people having challenges or whatever, I reach out to them, you know, in their email or some in some other method, and recognizing that not everything has to look performative for the purpose of like showing engagement and all of that, which is important, but remembering people's humanity as well. So if someone is sharing, you know, they're going through a fertility journey or they're doing this or they've lost someone or whatever, like being performative sometimes, just like, you know, you can say, you can acknowledge and say, oh my gosh, you know, within the thread, and maybe you reach out to them so that they always can appreciate that there are humans behind the scenes of this business, behind the scenes of this machine that they're giving money to, in a sense, because in a larger operation, sometimes like the human component is lost. And I think that's what makes the Origin membership so unique, is because we're still very much resonant of Kate's heart and intention. And so it's really important to make sure that your membership feels like you, and doesn't just feel like, oh, this is just another income source, but like, what do you want people to feel? How do you want them to move about their life as a result of being a part of this community that you've built? Because for some people, this is the only community that they have. And, you know, like we mentioned in the beginning, people hire within the ecosystem of the membership. People have developed friendships, they've travel to meet each other. And so that's really important. And then of course, like the logistical parts of like making sure there's like prompts several times a week. So we've got prompts throughout the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day of the week, there's prompts on Sundays. So we give like an update of like, here's what's coming in the week to keep people engaged and checking in. And, oh, this is what's happening this month. So there are those components as well to make sure that you have those foundational structures so that people know that, oh, I'm missing something. Oh, the link for the call is probably in the Facebook group. So like those structural parts, but then also when you're making sure that that is, scheduled, that's the word, when you're making sure that those things are scheduled, also making sure that you're remembering that there's people in there and not just like check the box, I've scheduled the posts, and then, you know, move on. I hope that answered your question.
That was great. That was great. And then in terms of, do you need a larger audience? No, you do not. I would go listen to Stu McLaren's podcast, which I can't remember what it's called, but I know he has an episode about small audience and launching a membership with a small audience. And then if you go and listen in the Origin membership to the how-to lesson on memberships, I talked through, it's a very breathy one because I was super pregnant. So I talked through like how the membership was born and what the stages were and what the steps were and our recommendations about that. I will say, back to Arielle's question, we love having a membership because it's recurring monthly revenue. So as opposed to a program where like you launch it once a year and it's a huge amount of revenue, but then the rest of the months there's not revenue. For my nervous system, that just wouldn't feel good. So it feels really good. And we have a 97% retention rate is our most current retention rate. And that's in large part thanks to Takesha. So we know that like the folks who are here this month, all but 3% of them are going to be here next month. And so that also feels really good for our kind of like foundational revenue. So yay for memberships. Big fan of that business model. And also like we give ourselves permission to shake it up when we're ready to. So our membership changed quite dramatically in April of 2021, and we're noodling on some enhancements right now also. So membership I also love because it can be this living, breathing ecosystem as opposed to a course, which is like you launch it, that's what it was. That is sort of like the nature of a membership. The membership a month, the current rate is $97 a month.
Can I say something else to the membership part too? I think it's really important to, I've kind of become a little obsessed with membership. So I'm like in a lot right now that I probably don't need to be in. But I, what I found is that's really, really helpful is, and I think it goes back to someone's earlier question about like, who would you hire? Like as you grow, I think, which I reflected to Amanda recently as well, is make it, if you get to the place where you can have customer service and you can have someone inside of your membership product, it does so, like it works wonders, because if people know that they're gonna be responded to in a reasonable amount of time, because you know things happen, I lose my password, you know, whatever, like you wait 72 hours for something and you're like, oh my gosh, like to you in the business, it may not seem like that much of that big of a deal, but someone had planned their time around like, I'm gonna dive into this content while my baby's asleep, while I'm out of town, while I'm on the airplane, you know, whatever. And then you take 3 days to get back to them and they've missed their window of interaction. And they're like, well, this is no longer valuable to me. And then also, if people know the schedule, it's so settling to their nervous system. Like I'm currently in a membership and it's making me feel really crazy not knowing what is coming. Like, is there more content this month? Is this all that I'm getting? What is the outline? What is happening? What am I paying for? So just making sure that you communicate with people. This is what you get on this schedule. And more is not always more. So if people just solidly understand, like, you get one live thing from me a month. That's it. Like, okay, great. That's what I know that I'm getting. Or you get five things, whatever. Just whatever it is, make sure you communicate, because that can really make or break your retention. And people have said to us, like, they do appreciate that we communicate and that we, you know, respond to them. And I think, you know, just collectively our response time with in the inbox. And I think there's so many pieces that go into our retention, and then people still get access to Kate. So like, that's also super important. They sign, if they sign up for your membership, they're also signing up for you. So don't like get people into your membership and then you disappear. And they're like, wait a minute, I was into this person, especially if you have a personal brand.
So good. So good. And I wanted to say back to Jen's question, after tech and after, part of my VA's job was customer service emails. So right after I hired the person to do the blog and stuff, I hired somebody to do customer service, because I'm a very sensitive bunny. And if somebody writes something in that's critical, I still want to crawl under the desk. Like, I've worked on it, but it's one of my superpowers. And so I just like me receiving customer, not that the vast majority of our customer service is negative by any means, but like people say shit to people that they think are not a human, like, you know, the way did everybody see that meme that was going around, the way you talk to a customer service representative is who you actually are. Something like, I was like, oh my God, that's so true.
The way you asked to speak to a representative.
Yes. That's, oh my God. Right. So I just knew that I needed a buffer because I can't create if I'm constantly in the loop of like, this person thinks I'm stupid, this person, da, 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 like I can't. So having that boundary was really important for me. Okay, this has been awesome. Thank you all so much. For further, like as questions come up, I know we had one first from Cynthia. I want to just make sure we capture that one, which was collaboration. So we'll make sure to talk about collaborations on our integration call and other things that will come up. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you, Team Origin. You are all a gift, and I can't wait to be with you all at the end of June for our next time together. Enjoy your recordings, your replays, enjoy the community, and we will see you soon. Bye, everyone.